Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own high five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
It is the Anton Savage Show here on News Talk, 9 to 11 on Saturday, 10 to 12 on Saturday. We have with us Brenda Power, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail and the Sunday Times, and Craig Hughes, political editor of the Irish Daily Mail. And there are pictures throughout the papers, and actually on the front page of the Irish Indo, of members of Enoch Burke's family in various stages of disarray as they are dragged from an Ireland Funds event, or dragged around an Ireland Funds event, because they are being prevented from getting in as they were protesting about the situation that Enoch Burke got himself into. We had been expecting, Craig, that they were going to go over. The word went out that the Burke family was heading for Washington. It seems a bit of a damp squib.
Yes, they were spotted at Dublin Airport on Tuesday by some of the travelling journalists who were going over to cover the Taoiseach's visit. They were approached by them. They didn't want to speak. They have this bent against talking to the Irish media. And I mean, there was some concern that they could show up in some capacity at the White House, because Elon Musk, as we know, the ex-owner and whisperer to US President Donald Trump, has been lending somewhat of support to him. He'd retweeted a video about Enoch Burke the days before that, with the captain just saying, wow. And I mean, talking to people in the diplomatic circles, they didn't have a full guess as to who was going to the White House. They didn't even know if Elon Musk was going to be in the Oval Office. And there was some concern that the Burks would turn up somewhere, or even Elon Musk would be in the Oval Office, and that would lead to a kind of a pivot to the Enoch Burke case. But it didn't happen. I think the closest we came to Enoch Burke being mentioned was Donald Trump in one of his brief monologues referencing transgenderism, but didn't bring up Enoch Burke. And after they were, so then we had the Burks outside the White House. And then finally, we woke up on Friday morning to these, what I would call iconic pictures of them being grabbed and thrown out of the Ireland Funds dinner, which I must say I'm very surprised that they were able to infiltrate. I've been there two separate occasions. Security is pretty high. They were outside initially, so they should have been spotted. And for the fact of them to get in would be seen as a very serious security breach on the US side. And I think on the Irish side, I think there's some fingers being pointed that they should have had a spotter there to keep an eye on them. And I mean, I think it's the latest in, I guess.
They managed to get inside the building and pretty much into the into dinner the itself.
Yeah, and like while they aren't known for, I would say, any kind of sort of violence, I mean, from a security perspective, you'd be quite concerned that someone could infiltrate an event like this with so many high-profile politicians and dignitaries and got so far into the building.
Did it achieve anything for them, do you think, Brenda?
No, I mean, I just wonder what the point is at this stage.
Was there ever a point?
Well, I think they've definitely run out of road now, because, you know, Enoch is not in jail anymore, to their chagrin, by the sound of things, because that's what they were shouting. He's in jail for his protests. He's not, you know, but as I said, Greg, saying he's been asked to pay fines doesn't have quite the same ring to it. I think really we're probably seeing the last sort of hurrah of the Burkes myself, because, you know, once the fines start to kick in, there's nothing much else they can do. They won't be able to disrupt courts because they won't be back in court. And financial penalties really was always the way to go in this situation. I mean,
but presumably that becomes self-fulfilling in that if those financial penalties aren't paid, well, then the only recourse is back to court, is back to jail, and around we go.
Not the way that they're approaching it now. They're appointing a receiver to his assets. So they'll be sort of sequestered, they'll be attached. So he won't, you know, they won't ever come into his bank account, basically, as far as I understand it, which seems to be the right way to go. So you take it out of his hands completely. That's before the courts at the moment, but that seems to be the way it's going to proceed. But I mean, I would say, you know, it's very likely that Elon Musk was contacted or whatever, but that somebody took him aside and said, look, this is not actually about transgenderism. And in fact, I think there would have been some support for his position had he approached it in a calm, you know, calculated way.
This is the bit that I don't quite understand it. Even though it isn't about transgenderism, the fact that it has been positioned as such, I would have thought the American right could have happily continued to use it and got in behind it as a culture war thing, because the specificity of it's to do with shouting at a principal rather than it's to do with transgender, would anybody pay any attention? Could they not have used it as a straw man?
Well, then why do they not have any support there from the American right, which they didn't have? And like, their posters looked homemade, really. So it's not as if there was a lot of money behind them. I mean, there was questionable, did somebody pay for their flights? I'd say they paid for their own flights. They just didn't have any support. If this was an orchestrated thing and supported by some shadowy forces, you would have expected that there would have been a bigger turnout.
Why do you think it didn't catch on with the American right, Greg?
Well, I think it probably came from the top down not to do it, because, I mean, you know, Joe Rogan, the biggest podcast in the US, has lauded the case of Enoch Burke and said, you know, this is crazy what's going on in Ireland, completely unchecked nonsense, right? And I just got the sense that when the tone was set in the morning time with that first meeting with J.D. Vance, it was a sense that, you know, there isn't going to be any kind of curveballs thrown here. And, you know, I just think there was, and if you look, actually, you go back to in the Oval Office that day and how shamefully choreographed it is being run with some friendly journalists, as we'll call them, and that journalist, of course, who you know, used his time when Zelensky was there to criticise what he was wearing. He came in with the softest of questions to Micheál Martinaux. How would you make Ireland great again? So it was as if everyone had been told, right, you're on your best behaviour here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I would say that's why, whatever intention or whatever contacts had been made, that Musk was told, look, we're not going there.
I wonder, are you onto something as well, Brenda, with the notion of that this is the sort of the final phases of it? Because one of the things I was intrigued by in a lot of the coverage was a sort of a sense of creeping boredom that the novelty is wearing off, and we're getting texts along the lines of, oh, look, please just stop giving this family publicity.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. But I mean, as I say, I do think there is not much else they can do. They're not going to be back in court. So there's going to be no more scenes once that case is decided. And I mean, it seems to me crazy that is not a recourse that is adopted in respect of a lot of people who don't pay their fines. Putting people in jail, in our overcrowded jails, for a day or two because they've refused to pay their television license or whatever is mad. Just find some way of attaching their...
I still think they can create their own road, if you like. I mean, in terms of the way that they disrupt events. I mean, they disrupted an event with the Attorney General recently. And I think they haven't been treated the way in Ireland by the police forces as they have been in the US, which is heavy-handed, out you go. It's been a kind of softly approach here, which I guess has allowed them to continue their
difficult
their
for the guards, though, because at the same time you must be thinking, if we do get heavy-handed, it increases the publicity
also,
and the backlash.
Also, you have seen pictures of them being carried bodily from courts, though. I mean, the Mail very, very sort of tactfully describes it as Amy Burke being escorted from the building. She's being dragged by a burly police officer with no shoes on her. But, I mean, also, they're not...
The loss
exactly
of shoes seems to be a common theme. Everybody's losing shoes.
I know. They're not exactly inconspicuous, though. I mean, as you say, if they do intend to disrupt further events here, they can be headed off at the pass because they're pretty noticeable.
Well, we'll deliver on the desire of that texter who said, please stop giving the Burke family publicity and move on to matters more important. That being a story revealing that even if housing does start to hit the kind of targets that we believe or that the government says that it should be getting towards, the bigger problem may be the fact that you can't connect anybody to water. Mm. This is water supply in 2/3 of the country's town, villages and urban areas cannot support the rollout of new housing. Front of the Indo.
Yeah, it's a really good story by Caroline O'Doherty here. And it kind of points to this dirt and infrastructure that we have around the country. And I mean, people say, well, okay, look, if it's not a case of extra money, it'll be found. But she makes a really good, she cites a really good example where in Clonakilty in 2 years ago, planning permission for 100 new homes couldn't be granted because of issues around water supply. So it is kind of real and tangible right now, where people are going, I want to build homes here, and they're not able to in some instances. And I guess it comes around to, you know, raises the spectre of, if we need to fund water, will water charges be back on the table? Not in the lifetime of this government, I can tell you. But I mean, it's a very expensive resource, and it will at some point raise its head again, I think. But the whole issue of infrastructure is one that this government is really going to have to grapple. They have the financial firepower to do it, so the challenge will be, can they implement the plans that they want to do? They you know, I guess something like water has been on their radar for a long time. Mm. The cost of connecting to water is really hard for new developments, and that really feeds into bringing the cost of overall development down as well.
I wonder, is this going to be the second phase of the housing crisis focus, Brenda, in that even if the houses do get, if you look at what people are saying now, they're pointing at the vast estates that are being built, particularly if you go north Dublin or anywhere around Fingal, and saying, where's the schools, where's the shops, where's the rail connections, where's the water connections, where's the playgrounds, where's all of the stuff that has to go beside the houses?
Well, this is it. But I mean, the water is possibly the most basic, water and electricity, possibly the most basic requirements. You know, and we're sort of have the perception that once that building starts, that'll be fine. We just need to build the houses. Of course you need to connect them to a water supply and sewage supply. And that, according to this, they don't have anything like the capacity, as Craig was saying there, just a third. Apparently, for the purposes of water supply, the country is divided into settlements. There's 867 settlements. And of these, just 266, just 31%, are currently categorised as having sufficient capacity for water support, to support existing growth. And there is no question of being able to hit the new targets. That the only targets they say, Uisce Éireann say, that they can achieve is the old Housing for All targets of 33,000 a year, but we need to be building at least 50,000. So it just appears that whatever way we turn.
So by that logic then, if the housing targets are met, they'll be met with no water coming into them or sewage going out.
An extra 1.7 billion, which of course we have.
Yeah, well, I guess the issue is they wouldn't get planning permission to build those as if they wanted. But I mean, we're just looking at the CSO data this week for planning permissions for apartments in 2024. They've dropped 39%. Really, really sobering statistics this week. So I think overall there was only about 32,000 planning permissions for homes in the entire year. So the pipeline is really quite constrained compared to what it was. It was 41,000 last year. So we might see a small uptick in 2025 in home delivery, but that pipeline is really constrained.
Mm-hmm. Is the pun deliberate or?
No, it's just too much housing jargon in my head.
Don't laugh at housing jokes.
Yeah.
We learned that this week.
But I guess the other thing as well, I was talking to some economists this week, because the government is now saying, okay, they're talking about what are we going to do to developers to try and stimulate housing again. That's also caused a bit of a pause in the sector as well, because if you waited 6 months, it actually might be more beneficial for you with these new schemes to come in. So that,
hang on a minute, the discussion of an incentive has acted as a reverse incentive.
Yeah, well, of course it will, but I guess in the short term, because if you're a big developer, right, and you're going to go and build an apartment block in Dublin where it's pretty unviable, why would you do it now rather than wait 6 months when you go, the government are going to do something for us? Mm. So again, when you talk about the lifespan of this government, you know, been 4.5 years, 5 years, I would say prepare for another disappointing year in housing outrun next year. And their only hope is to really ramp it up in the final 3 years of the last government. And they got so lucky. And what they're going to be caught out on now is, in the election, they said, and it's been, you know, hauled over to the coals, we're going to deliver 40,000 new homes, right? That was based on a letter in August, which I'd revealed from Dara O'Brien to the three coalition leaders. This week, Sinn Féin made quite good political hay when they said that Jack Chambers was told in November, days before the election, that it was more likely to be the same output as last year, around the low 30s. And actually, the biggest thing that has been missed was from last week, the Irish Times, Jack Horgan-Jones, the place where this 40,000 home promise figure came from was Dara O'Brien was given a list of 10 different completion to targets, right, by different bodies. Three of them mentioned 40,000. The average would have been about 36,000. But crucially, they drew attention to one in particular, which said between 30,000 and 33,000, said this is the one that's been most accurate in recent years. So I think amidst all that, the public are right to ask why they were sold this promise of 40,000 homes to be delivered last year. And I think it'll haunt them for the duration of this government.
53106 at a cost of 30 cents of you of a viewer, 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. There is a story in the Irish Times, Brenda, relating to the senior executive in Facebook, now Meta, who has written a book revealing her experience in that organisation. And Meta, being such a fan of free speech, has of course moved to injunct the publication of this book. But one of the things that has been revealed is if you want to get into what is it, the VIP area of Davos, Enda Kenny is your man.
Enda Kenny's your man. This, she tells a story of bumping into him after a tipsy dinner. And there's a wine tasting, a really exclusive, and as you can imagine, at something like Davos, how fancy the wines would be. And there's people who've paid fortunes, obviously, to be there, and they're taking it all very seriously. They're actually making notes about the wine they're tasting. And Enda says, come on, lovely girls. There's a touch of sort of the dead. You're two lovely girls. Come on in with me. She said, it's not the remotest bit creepy, as it wouldn't be with Enda. And he gets the two of them in. And she said, these guys are very disgruntled to see these two gorgeous girls from Facebook. Give them a nice glass of wine. And you could just see him do it. It's a lovely story.
The way she describes it, because she says in it, recounting a meeting with Kenny and Davos, she describes him in the expose as charming, a charismatic man who occasionally recites poetry from memory or sings in the raucous dinners he hosts each year in Davos. And he says that he greets them by saying, ah, the beautiful ladies of Facebook.
Lovely girl.
That's male charm.
How does he get away with it?
It's the male charm, you know.
You're all lovely girls.
It is some revelation that this is the crack that's going on at Davos. I thought this was meant to be fierce high end.
Well, obviously some people seem to want to keep standards up when they're there taking notes about their wine.
I just think the hilarious thing though about the contrast in styles, and there's been a lot spoken about before between say someone like Enda Kenny and Leo Varadkar who came after him, you know, both of different talents, but I mean I don't think you could imagine putting Leo
saying, are the beautiful ladies of Facebook, let's bunk in and get some free wine. Maybe, you never know. The other thing, of course, that happened yesterday that is making some of the papers today is Mark Carney, former governor of the Bank of England, former governor of the Bank of Canada, now Prime Minister of Canada, finding himself sworn in as PM. In political terms, this is an interesting one, Craig, because it means that a man who is fairly expert in things like monetary policy, tariffs, trade, all of the rest of it, is now right at the forefront of the international trade battle with Donald Trump.
Another great Mayo man as well, of course, which you failed to mention. Although but I'll keep flying the flag for Mayo today, as I always do.
I believe he is renouncing his Mayo citizenship, though, as part of this process.
Yeah. Yes,
three grandparents, Mayo, apparently.
Oh. Yeah. We won't hold that against
him. Yeah, I mean, it is quite interesting to have a technocrat to be brought into this public role. And I guess for him to the support that has suddenly swung in that direction now is quite interesting. It's I think particularly with his previous experience on Brexit, he's literally the perfect man for the job. But I mean, what a difficult task that you now have there between to be trying to fight that war. I think the Americans would have got a bit of a shock from the response of the Canadian people, who didn't just respond with their tariffs; they acted acted with their own money and said, "Sorry, we're not going to put your products on the shelves." Mm-hmm. And that in itself is much more damaging than the tariffs. So,
well, I remember years ago reading an author describing how if they saw their book on a bookshelf with just the spine visible, they'd pull it out, turn it so the cover was out, and sit it on the front of the shelf. It seems Canadians are now doing the same. They're finding American products and turning them upside down on the shelf so people will know that's an American product, don't buy it.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, and I wonder how long this kind of turbulent trade war is going to go on for with Trump, because I mean, look at his last tenure as president, stock market went up and up and up and up. Now it's down, mm-hmm. you know, significantly since he took over. And we know that's one barometer that he will always look to. So I'm just wondering how long he's going to continue on this turbulent road, because at the moment it just is not working out the way he expected, and he's getting hammered by the Wall Street Journal week on week.
And of all of the papers to hammer him, the Wall Street Journal is significant because it has so long been a supporter.
Yeah, so
but isn't it mutually assured economic destruction though? I mean, if you have the EU hitting back at these tariffs of 200%, what are they going to do, 400% on American goods? I mean, where does this end? As you say, I think, you know, some sort of reality is going to have to come into that.
Well, Dave McWilliam is going to be with us in about half an hour, and he'll have his analysis on what logic there is behind all of this, if any. But one of the interesting things that I've found, I don't know what your view has been in relation to Canada, has been everybody else seems to be trying to be as polite as possible while soft.
Yeah.
Canada, to use their own phraseology, has dropped the gloves and come out swinging. Yeah, it is the only country that is saying you can stick it directly.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know what's the correct approach to him. You know, whether confrontation or plamos is the right way
to go. It is nice to see somebody getting the elbows up, though, isn't it?
It is, but he is such a vengeful man. You don't know where this is going to end. That's what I'd be concerned about. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's 100% the right approach from them, if they have the clout, and they seem to have, to be able to inflict pain. But I mean, you know, this is not going to help his core support, who are, you know, the poorest of the poor, really, in America, who are actually going to be hit by these tariffs and are going to be the ones who will end up paying.
But he's had a unique capacity to sell to people the notion that actions that are in, that run counter to their best interests are what they should vote for. So will he not just do the same with this?
Well, it starts hitting them in their pockets, and we'll see if they're as enthusiastic to put on their MAGA caps and...
Lastly, and most importantly, the baby wombat.
Baby wombat. Yes, this the influencer Sam Jones, who
hunting influencer, to give her a full title. Who knew there were hunting influencers, Greg?
indeed.
Nothing would surprise me.
She went viral for all the wrong reasons when she was videoed picking up a baby wombat running away from. Its mother, laughing, and the man filming her as well.
Is it an American woman in Australia?
In Australia,
indeed.
The wombat was the clue that this was in Australia.
And I mean, this sparked outrage in Australia. Even the Australian Prime Minister coming out incensed, urging her to pick up a baby crocodile instead and see how she gets on. And there was, you know, her visa was being reviewed. But I think she has since left the country and put out a glowing apology, saying that she was just simply trying to get it off the road. But I think if you go back and watch the video, it's difficult to believe that excuse.
There's something very heartening in a time of geopolitical crisis that the whole world can get this activated about a baby wombat.
I just wondered if it had been a baby human that she'd taken from his mother and run a few yards down the road, would there have been as much fuss over it? Yeah, but I mean, I've seen other images from her posts, and she's posing over the dead, slain corpses of animals. She is, as you say, a hunting influencer. It's funny that this was the one that seems to have triggered a backlash.
And the Prime Minister, the senior Australian official, saying that the wombat baby may be permanently traumatised by this.
Come on.
Apparently they're very close to the mother.
Going to need counselling. She's going to be deported, apparently.
But she got out ahead of it.
Yeah.
Although she got out ahead of it and then gave a very snotty statement, a two-pager, about the Australian, saying that the way that they treat their wombats is terrible and that she was only being helpful
to
this.
She's trying to liberate this wombat.
53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106. Big thank you to Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail, and Brenda Power, columnist with the Mail and the Sunday Times.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.